that I might have this kidney disorder called IgA nephropathy, which is a progressive kidney disorder that can shut your kidneys down and would eventually lead to kidney transplants and stuff. And I was 27, man. So
right.
It was pretty scary thing. And it was kind of like, well, first question was like, do I need to retire?
Yeah.
To this doctor. And he said, yeah, like game over. And I quickly found peace with, okay, well, I had a good run.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope.
All right, we're official. So I told you, I gotta ask, first question, crowdsourced it from our staff. Like, how did the mustache come about? How do you keep it looking so fresh?
Oh man. Like,
you don't have like the only mustache in CrossFit, but you got a really good one. So
hey, I appreciate that. I don't know if my wife shares the same sentiment, but I think a lot of my training partners like it. At least the dudes have all jumped on the stash bandwagon. But no, I honestly, it was maybe after the Open. I think it was right after the Open. I had that beard, like probably the biggest beard I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And I was going to shave it just because it was starting to get warm out and it's just hot. And I was like, oh, I'll do a quarterfinal stash. Like, why not? It's funny. Yep. Like, just try to have fun with it. And then quarterfinals went well. And a bunch of guys like John Colty, Gunner, Shane's growing a little stash. The PT I work with, Brian's growing a stash. So Dwight, one of our coaches, is growing a stash.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of jumped on the bandwagon. And I was like, well, I think I'll just keep the stash through the season, you know, as long as the season rides. And then obviously if the season goes well, then maybe it'll last till next year. So it could be a staple. But my wife has threatened to shave it in my sleep, which is a real possibility.
So we'll see. Just in case people don't really have much context for who you are, because, you know, we've got a handful of different audiences that listen, not just the CrossFit community. So when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that question?
Yeah. Well, I'm a professional CrossFit athlete. I work out for a living. There's a lot of ways to answer it. I also coach, but predominantly now, you know, I'm a pro athlete. For people that don't know what CrossFit is, essentially we're professional exercise racers. So it's kind of, to be fair, it's kind of like what triathlon is too. They just exercise really fast against other people.
Right.
Or track and field or swimming, anything like that. So we just take some of the movements that people do in the gym and made them a sport, like squats, box jumps, things like that. So yeah, I'm a professional fitness racer.
Yeah. And what makes CrossFit like a hard thing?
Well, obviously the tasks that we do are very difficult from a physical standpoint. It's all encompassing type of fitness testing, if you will, or fitness racing, right? We don't just swim or bike or run or jump or any other, or throw like they would in track and field. We also lift weights. We do gymnastics. We do strongman things like carry sandbags, like you see the guys like the Rogue Invitational did. So we jump rope. It pretty much, I wouldn't say anything, but most things that people equate to fitness or exercise, we do in a very competitive setting.
Yeah.
Where it's structured to where yourself and I could make a workout and race against each other and let the best man win. And majority of the time there's a start line and a finish line, right?
Yeah.
So people can relate to that point. You know, you're trying to get from point A to point B, or you're trying to lift more weight than the other guy.
Mm-hmm. So why'd you get into it?
Yeah, so I grew up as a soccer player. I played pretty much every sport on a casual level, not on a competitive level, just because all my had friends that played every sport, but I was always pretty specialized in soccer. Just because my dad was a really high level soccer player and so was my brother, and being the baby of the family, you just kind of fall into what everybody else does.
Yeah, you look up to him.
Yeah, exactly. And you learn at a rapid rate, you know, when you're just trying to keep up with the older guys. So I played soccer up until I was 22, I believe. And then when that kind of like tried to go play pro, I played in a few different preseasons with teams in the USL, which is essentially like the league right below the MLS, like AAA ball in baseball.
Right.
Like the league right below the major leagues. And when that didn't work out, I went back to school to finish my degree and had to do something to earn my scholarship back, because they were going to give me my scholarship back that I had for soccer. So I just worked in the weight room coaching teams. So okay. I went to class, and then I was in the weight room, like coaching the soccer team, the baseball team, just taking them through strength and conditioning, and kind of found CrossFit as a sport then.
Okay.
I was just working out a lot to kind of like fill the void of where soccer wasn't anymore.
Sure.
So I knew what CrossFit was back in 2008 when I started to get ready for college, and just used it as a training modality to make like cross training for soccer. And then knew what the games were probably around 2011, 2010, but didn't really think anything of it. And then got really interested in it after I got released from the pros.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, like maybe I could be good at this. I was always like a pretty fit guy relative to my teammates in soccer, and always lifted weights with like my older brother and stuff from a young age.
Yeah.
I started lifting weights when I was 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
Just doing whatever he was doing, you know, so like right. bench press and curls and whatever him and his buddies were doing. And then when I was in school, I joined a gym in Franklin, Tennessee, which is a little bit west of where I am right now, Nolensville, just south of Nashville. And they told me about the Open, and you can qualify for the CrossFit Games. And kind of, I knew about the CrossFit Games, but I didn't know the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started doing CrossFit as like a focus around December, like right when I got released, I started doing it and ended up making the regionals that year. And got to compete against the best in the world right away. Like Rich Froning was in my region, Graham Holmberg, Scott Panchik, who's going to be at Syndicate, which is crazy because we're still both going. Marcus Hendren, like a lot of really great athletes in the sport were in our region. So it was a really good reference to see where I was. Like these guys are pro athletes, even as far back as 2013. And I'm right there. I'm in the same heat as them. You know, I finished 10th that year. So I was like, I finished in the last heat, right, with the best guys in the world. And I think all those guys finished top five at the games that year, or top six or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe I can, you know, 6 months into like serious training, maybe I can do this. Maybe I make the games. And then the next year, 2014, I coached at the gym full time and trained full time. Just lived there pretty much,
right,
and ended up making the games in 14, and it, you know, the rest is history as far as me like being a pro in the sport, or at least, you know, living out a dream, right? It was just kind of a crazy thing that it all worked out, but yeah, so that's at least the front end of how I got into it.
Why? Because that was 2000. Wow, long time ago. So 2014 was when you made it. 2013 is when you started. So a lot of people, I'm guessing, because you even made the comment, like it's crazy that we're still going. Like, have dropped out of it in that time for various reasons, I'm sure. But like, what about it has let you like stick with it? Because it's hard to stick with something like that for a long period of time.
Yeah. Man, I think it's just kind of in me as far as being able to just do, like, I don't know, just set my mind to something and accomplish it. It's just, that's just been kind of my process. I have never really put limitations on myself from a psychological standpoint, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no reason why I can't go accomplish something. And if I can't, well, then at least I tried and I'll be at peace with that.
Sure.
You know, and from an athletic standpoint, that's kind of been the way I've approached those pursuits. And I think it's bled into, you know, just life in general, because you learn a lot of lessons through sport, I believe. But
yeah,
I think, you know, the time I got into it, from a financial standpoint, it was, you were able to, you know, do it professionally. And then even before sponsors, I set up my life in a way that allowed me to continue to pursue CrossFit at the highest level. And I get that question a lot. There's a lot more endorsements and stuff in the sport now, but for people starting out that don't have those, but maybe have the potential or have, you know, the drive or goal of becoming a pro and in any sport, I think that one of the biggest things is setting up your life to allow you to pursue that.
Right. And
you can't just like quit your job and go work out all day. Like, you have to put food on the table. You gotta be able to put gas in your car and, you know, maybe have insurance. I don't know. Like, and I obviously, you know, I've had a family that instilled those values in me from a young age. And obviously my wife has supported me the whole way, which that can't be overstated how much having your close knit group supporting you in a pursuit that's obviously, you know, it's all encompassing. Being a pro athlete it's a selfish pursuit, and that's self-proclaimed. Like, I know it is, but if you surround yourself with the right people, or if you're lucky to have a family that really, and friends and coaches that are behind you 100%, it makes it a lot easier. And yeah, so I forget what the original question was, but
You were answering it. Why were you able to keep going for nine
years? Yeah, I think it was a lot of those reasons. And I've really, really spent a lot of time on just developing myself as a professional. Like, whenever I wrote book reports growing up, I wrote them about Michael Jordan, right? Like, ask my mom this, like, I think I wrote like 7 years in a row. At the end of the year, you had to read a book and write a book report. And I wrote it on Michael Jordan, like, every year.
Different book?
Chicago family.
Yeah.
I think I read a couple autobiographies, but it was also tacked by fifth grade, I had it memorized. I didn't have to read the book anymore.
Work but, smart, you know?
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder. So yeah. And even from a young age, like, some of my favorite part, like, I watch all the sports at the Super Bowl. Part of my favorite, probably my favorite part about the whole thing, apart from the game, is like listening to the interviews at the end. I have a huge respect for pros in all sports, and I'm so intrigued by the mindset. And I've really just tried to help that just be a sponge to everybody. Kobe Bryant's probably my favorite athlete of all time, and he's a huge mindset guy, and he was a really cerebral athlete, obviously an amazing athlete,
right?
But just the way he approached life and how it integrated into sport and his goals was just something that I try to emulate a little bit, but just, you can't emulate someone that great, but you just try to learn from them. And that's something I continue to do. And looking at UFC fighters, triathletes, every sport, I really think you can learn and grow from anybody who is in a paralleled pursuit as you are.
So
that's something I think that has helped me to just continue to go, even when stuff's like really tough.
Sure. Yeah. You said something that I wanted to come back to. You said, like, you know, you're just going to give it your best effort, and however it turns out, you have peace. And I think that's easy to say, right? But that's really hard to live into, because the reality is, like, when you're putting all your effort and energy into something, like, your identity oftentimes gets wrapped up into that pursuit. Yeah. And when the way your identity was in your mind doesn't pan out in reality, it's hard to have peace. So, like, how are you able to, like, actually have peace when you're giving your full effort and energy into whatever it is you're pursuing. In this case, it's CrossFit, but.
Yeah. That's a really good question. And it's something that I continually work on and am continually just aware of, because it's easy to get wrapped up in a bad performance or not reaching your goals or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But in sport, it's such a volatile thing, right? You get sick and you can't perform. That's out of your hands. You lose your bag on the way to an event. You got to other stuff. Like, it's just, there's so many things that can be out of your control. I just try to focus on the things that are in my control and performing the best I can on the day. And the result is the result. And that gives me peace. And I don't think I've always been like that. I think that's been something that has developed over time. Just, you know, I've been a high level athlete since I was 16 years old. So
yeah,
you know, competing on an international stage. So you're just not one way. Like, I'm way different than I was back then.
Sure.
And I'll be way different, you know, at the end of my career. So I just try to not let it consume me, at least my performance, and let it determine my worth or my happiness. Does it have an effect? 100%. I mean, I'm a professional. I'm like, when I go to the syndicate semifinals, I expect to win.
Right.
And it is what it is. I'm a pro. I need to go act like it. So that in my head, it would be winning and performing and going on to the next stage. And then the same thing at the CrossFit Games. But, you know, I've had this career stripped away from me. I had a kidney disorder that I was misdiagnosed with, which is crazy. We can get into that if you guys have any questions about that. But I've lost this before and had to fight to get it back. And I think that there was a change then, as far as having a healthy relationship with what being a pro athlete is.
Yeah.
Because it is a unique thing. It's a unique life. And it's easy to be neurotic or, you know, just your identity is your performance, which there's a huge part of me that is an athlete. Like, if somebody asks me, the biggest parts of my life, like right behind family and friends, is pro sports. And
right.
A lot of the times it's blurring the lines about what's most important, to just being honest. Like, it's a 24/7 job. I don't, you know, I've missed a lot of holidays. I missed a lot of birthdays, like, cause I had to train or I had to sleep or whatever it was. I missed a lot of weddings, like a lot of my best friends' weddings, because I was at, you know, events and stuff. So it's a big sacrifice, but yeah, I think I'm happy. I'm happy with how I'm living. I try to keep all the parts of my life as balanced as possible, and knowing that I am actually, I'm doing the best that I can gives me peace, you know, on a sports level and on a personal level.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's a long-winded answer.
Oh, good, man. You gave me some more things to ask about. So let's talk about the having it stripped away. Like,
yeah,
I think that sounds like a hard thing, right? And yeah. I mean, that's kind of the purpose of this. I don't know if that's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back, which is kind of my like question I wanted to get into, but maybe it is. But regardless, let's just share that story and you know, to let people hear what happened.
Yeah. So in 2017, I was at Wodapalooza, which is one of the marquee events in CrossFit in Miami, Florida. And all the best guys and girls in the world go there and compete, like an off-season event. And I went into kidney failure the second day of the event, was admitted to the hospital, Mercy Hospital in Miami, was told I was in kidney failure and I was put on an IV. And then they were, my nephrologist down there, I forget what his name was, he was very suspicious about how a young, you know, seemingly elite athlete who's very healthy could go into kidney failure after such a short, like it was only like the second day of the event. And so he took a biopsy of my kidney, and I guess misread the pathology or saw a pathology in there that may have, that suggested that I might have this kidney disorder called IgA nephropathy, which is a progressive kidney disorder that can shut your kidneys down in, you know, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years. It's kind of unknown and it changes in different people, different ways, but
yeah,
that's what he diagnosed me with and would eventually lead to kidney transplants and stuff. And I was 27, man. So
right.
It was a pretty scary thing. And I was in the hospital with my wife and then my mom had flown down. And when I got this news and it was kind of like, well, first question was like, do I need to retire?
Yeah.
To this doctor. And he said, yeah. And I was like, well, like game over. And I quickly found peace with, okay, well, I had a good run. You know, I played two sports at a really, really high level that most people will never get to touch. And you know, like I got to live out my dream more or less. Mm-hmm. And I had owned a gym at the time and we ended up selling the gym and I was given a job by one of my gym members who owned a tech company as a consultant in e-learning. So I was like selling e-learning programs, which was quite different.
Right.
Yeah. And
a little bit.
I learned a lot there too. You know, I learned about the corporate world. I learned about talking to people that didn't know anything about fitness. There's a lot of big world out there. And a lot of people don't know the first thing about CrossFit. And so I spent a year doing that. And throughout that time, it was a lot of time to think about life and just get my priorities right. And I was still working out and stuff, but like an hour a day, and I'd weightlift mostly because there wasn't as much like muscle breakdown related with weightlifting as like a CrossFit workout where you're doing 1,000 reps.
Right.
And you're getting really sore and your kidneys have to filter out all that muscle breakdown. So yeah. So then I got the news back that, hey, this was my nephrologist in Nashville, Dr. Shonda at Nephrology Associates. I said that in a while.
Shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Dr. Shonda. He said, hey man, I looked at your path report. There's really no evidence of what this guy said. All my blood work was back to normal and really, really good. All the like creatinine and GFR, like the two big kidney and blood pressure.
Yeah.
We're all back to normal and like very good. And he was like, I don't think you have this thing, man. And I was like, okay. And the pathology report where they, you know, they take a piece of your kidney and look at it, was clean. So
yeah,
I was like, oh man, I called Cass on the way home and was like, so doctor just told me I don't have this autoimmune disorder, which is like amazing news, but it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Crazy. And then I called my coach and was like, hey man, like I want to keep my job. Financially, I'm stable. Like, I'm finding a new rhythm in life, but I kind of want to start pushing training just a little bit. I just want to see what I can do. And there's a lot of PTSD involved with that because my relationship with pushing my body to the limits was very negative at that point because it was like my body was like, no, shut down. Like last time I did that, I ended up in the hospital for a week.
Yeah.
So I had to really work through that. And it took, you know, a bit of time. But I ended up obviously like working through that. And then that was September-ish 2017.
Okay.
And then trained for a year and then got back to the point where I could compete, you know, competitively in 2019, as an individual, and then, you know, finished 10th at the CrossFit Games and the rest is history. So yeah, it's like my second career, which is much better than my first half, which is crazy to think about, as far as games finishes, just my general happiness, my fitness level is higher than it's ever been, you know, and I'm 32 now. So,
well, there's like probably a lesson in there, right? Of like, because we're so inclined. I even had a coach, you know, he's like, every day you're not training, somebody's passing you, they're training. And there's maybe a lesson in there of like your body and your mind needs the break so that it can come back well. And, you know, you didn't choose that, and maybe that's not true, but it sounds like it might be true.
Yeah. I think so. I think that for me, maybe I needed that, or I did need it because it happened that way, and it is what it is. But I think that I learned a lot of valuable lessons through that time, and lessons that there's a lot of athletes that have had comebacks from big injuries and things like that, but it's just a little different spin on that. You know, like I've had physical injuries as well that I've had to come back from, plenty of them.
But yeah.
The kidney thing was different, right? Because I completely closed that off. It was like that book was shut and that's it. And it was because I was being an objective person. Like, hey man, you might die from this disease. Well, like, stop doing what you're doing. So, like I've had I've had all sorts of surgeries and stuff from sport, but no one was ever like, hey,
this is it.
No one was like, game over and that's it. Like, I had literally ended my athletic career mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a crazy thing. And it is what it is, man.
Cause your wife's name's Cass. What was her response to it ending the first, like the whole initial reaction to, oh, your career's over, go find a job. And then, hey, I don't have this anymore. Let's do it again.
The initial reaction was like, really?
Yeah.
And my coach at the time, he was like, what? But obviously happy, right? Like very not similar, but it was kind of like the news that like when Cass was told, hey, like you don't have any signs of cancer anymore. Like it's awesome news.
Yeah.
It's the best news you can get around the situation. At least when it's regarding health. But as far as like the reaction of, hey, I think I want to go back.
Yeah.
And do the thing that, you know,
brought us here,
made me really sick. Yeah. That was Paul Cass having any like hesitance or anything like that. My mom was like, no, why would you do that? I remember telling her like, hey mom, I'm going to try and like go down the sport route again. And she was not supportive. Obviously she's a huge fan now, but and even my coach at the time was hesitant to like write programming for me again, because it was like, it's a very damaging sport from a metabolic standpoint. Your body has to process a lot. So he was hesitant, and even the protocols that he was writing for me at the time. But I just kind of had to urge, like, tell everybody I'm going to be okay. It is what it is. And like, this is what I want to do. And we did it all in the right way. And obviously Cass supported me 100%. And I ended up leaving the job, the corporate job, and back at it full time here. I started coaching, like having remote clients, and then had a few endorsements and, you know, got back to competing at the highest level.
Yeah. So you mentioned just now that your wife had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Had
keywords.
Capital HAD. Yeah. Underlined, yes. Circled, all the things. But
yes,
I mean, you can't really, I don't know, use like a passing comment just now, but that's kind of like, that's not a passing comment kind of.
No. So, well, you know about it. So I was just like talking to you, but yeah
I'm going to circle it and point it out, and I'm going to make you come back to it. So can you just talk about that? Like, how many people, first of all, how many people have to deal with that in their lifetime? But then two, like at a really young age. So probably a not expected thing again.
100%. Yeah. So right after the games in this past year, 2021, maybe we went on vacation and then we got back and she noticed like a lump and she told me about it. She's like, I'm gonna get it checked out. And I'm like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up doing a biopsy of it, and it was maybe a month after the games all this happened, and then we got the news that she had breast cancer. So which kind of like flipped us upside down, right? You don't know what stage it is. You don't know, like, you just don't know anything. You just go to the doc and they're like, hey, you have cancer. And you're right. Like, well, what do I do? Like, holy shit, we're young, healthy. Like, it's not like I'm abusing myself a lot more than she is, right? She's got like a healthy fitness regimen. So that was, then we started treatment in October, I believe, was the first chemo treatment.
What stage was it?
Stage 2A.
Okay.
So, and they didn't tell us that. I guess, like, we could guess it based off of the size.
Yeah.
When they did all the scans and stuff, you can kind of place it. But really, from my knowledge, it depends on how much it spread the lymph nodes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when things start to get really, really hairy.
Yeah.
So she went through chemotherapy and then like the hormone treatments they have like really targeted therapies for her specific cancer, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That they have that science now. And she did that and she's still doing treatments. But she did all her chemo. They at the end of that, which was one chemotherapy every 3 weeks for 7 weeks,
okay,
I believe. They go back and evaluate it and it was like no signs of it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then she had she went and had a double mastectomy just to make sure, because there's a chance that things come back. There's always a chance that things come back when people have cancer. So we had that procedure done, and then that's when we found out like the exact stage, because they like took out only one lymph node.
Okay.
Which is good. And then she'll have the final surgery. Sorry, there's a lot. She'll have the final surgery in mid-June, which we spoke about before we got on the air.
Yeah,
which is just with the plastic surgeon. And she'll continue the targeted therapies, which is not chemotherapy, until October, I believe.
So it's like a whole year process.
Yeah, it'll end up being a little over a year, maybe November. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these are moving dates because it's based on surgery and they don't do a lot of treatments around the surgery, just so you can recover, right?
Yeah.
The medicine that they're giving you is pretty tough. So right. Yeah, it'll be a little bit over a year. Prognosis is amazing. We're lucky to have the doctors and obviously all of our friends and family and people who have supported us, like, have just made this experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better than it could be, and you just don't feel alone, and just the support from yourself as well has just been really appreciated. And you know, the news is really tough and much tougher than what I had to deal with. But with my kidney thing,
right,
and being so young, it's obviously startling, but I do think that like some of the stuff we've had to deal with just growing up and been just dealt with a lot of stuff, both of us, made just like getting this news, meeting with doctors, getting a game plan, and doing everything we can a lot. It was just smoother. And it wasn't like, you can take that news a lot of different ways. And I think that we just did the best we could, and you know, it is what it is, and we're going to do everything we can. And that's just kind of the way we approached it. And obviously my wife's a badass and like worked out through the whole thing. And like, obviously the treatment was amazing and she's doing good. She's back to work, which I know she loves. She's a NICU nurse. So she takes care of the itty bitty babies. Yeah.
That would be intense job, I feel like.
Yeah. I think so. But that's what she loves to do. And so she's back to helping, you know, helping other people. And yeah, man, it's been a roller coaster of a year, to say the least. But things are looking up. And yeah, we're just super lucky.
Not having it happen to you, but happen to your wife, like, I mean, kind of really out of your control, right? Like, you can't do anything to fix or change the situation. So like, Talk about the difference between it happening to you and it happening to somebody like your wife, and how you process through, like, both are really hard situations, but like,
yeah,
one's out of your control to do anything about it.
I think I just kind of took a page out of her book, because she's been such a support to me through a lot of just tough things that have happened in my life, personal, professional, health, all that stuff. Just had like a lot of shit we've had to deal with. And the way to just be supportive, and just, it's not even necessarily like you said, you can't really do anything from like a helping standpoint, like that's with the doctors, but you can just be there to be supportive and talk, and, you know, just be a presence of peace. Maybe that's the way to put it when life's super hectic. And we joke now, we're like, man, like, I mean, we've had to deal with a lot, and like, can't get any worse than this, but you know, like, somehow life, like, it is what it is. And that's just kind of the way that we've approached things. And we're fortunate that this has all worked out really, really well. And you just support each other through the hard times. And I think not only just from me and my wife's standpoint, supporting each other, again, like, our family and friends are amazing. And not everybody has that. Like, we're super lucky, and I'm aware of that. And even the CrossFit community has made this insanely amazing. Like, just they make Cass feel loved, complete strangers.
Yeah.
Which That's is really something cool. that goes a long way. And like, I'm not saying, like, if you see somebody with like a shaved head at the grocery store, like, go buy their groceries or something, but like, I think it does feel good to like say, like, just acknowledge things sometimes, like, hey, like, how you doing? Just stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know, like, complete strength, like, caskets messages on Instagram all the time, just like supportive stuff. We've gotten, I don't know how people got our address, but like, we've had random people.
That's a problem in and of itself.
But yeah, so the support's been really amazing, and it's not just me helping. And it's not just my family; it's everybody. So yeah.
Talk about for a second. Sorry to interrupt you.
You're good.
Because my wife, her mom passed away. And I, like, personally, I haven't had anything really difficult like that, like what you're talking about, or losing a parent, that I've had to like work through. So I can't speak from experience other than her, where she's, you know, she said, you know, people don't like want to talk about the hard thing. They're like, ooh, that sounds like, it's almost a, like, I don't want to have to deal with that hard conversation with you. So like, people just don't talk about it, or you just don't know what to do, so you don't talk about it, right? Like, is it better from your end to have people like just ask questions and show, like, what's the right, like, for people that don't know what to do, you know, when people like are in a difficult situation, what's helpful?
Yeah. So here's my perspective. Obviously there's probably there's things you probably just don't need to talk about. Like, my dad died when I was relatively young. And maybe that kind of helped shape my perspective on life and what's important, and just having more of a rational mind. But I mean, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Everybody deals with hard things. And like, if one of my friend's parents passed away, I'm usually like the guy they hit up, you know, just because I had to do that at a young age. Like, I was like 21. So I think life experiences, like, there's probably a fine line, but if I experience something tough in life and I can give somebody some support because I've experienced something similar, I should do that. From a sports standpoint, if I go to an event and my nutrition's a little off and I identify from that experience what I need to fix, and I don't address it and use that knowledge at the next one, what am I doing? Like, so I think we've helped a lot of people deal with it, life experience. I try to take things like this, or obviously my wife has spoken to a lot of cancer patients now. who are going, like young girls have messaged her. I think like there's like groups and stuff. And you just help. And I don't think that that's in everybody, but that's something that's in both of us. And, you know, just here to help people if they want it, right? You don't force your experiences on other people, but on numerous occasions, as far as like parents passing away, just because you referenced that, or dealing with cancer, sickness, or injuries, or anything, I have experience with those things, and that I think could be helpful if people ask me.
Yeah.
But it is a delicate thing, right? You don't want to like force your experiences and your thoughts on other people in those settings, because it is, it can be touchy. So it just depends, I think, on how it happens, but we've definitely been willing to help other people that are going through tough times that we've also gone through.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question, like the poignant, prominent question of this podcast is, what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back? And you've just talked about a bunch of hard stuff. So I don't know if, one of those qualified, or maybe there's something that you haven't talked about that actually is like what comes to mind, but I want to ask it just in case there's something else.
Yeah, man. No, we pretty much chopped them all right there.
Yeah.
What's the hardest thing I've dealt with? Or,
well, that's the way the question's phrased. Like, what's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back?
I wouldn't take back anything that I've. I wouldn't take back any of it, man. It's kind of shaped who I was, who I am, and who I'm going to be. And I'm gonna have to deal with a lot more hard things that are probably right up with those. Again, in my life, and I don't think that. I think all that's like that can be framed as negative. And, by and large, a lot of those things are just negative, but you can take positives from them and try to enrich your life or the life of people around you through those experiences. I think the worst thing to do would just to sit and not learn anything, or not use any life experience to enrich the human just being a human. And there's ways to even help things like drive you. I know for like a long time, and even now, like when I'm training hard and I'm doing like really, really hard training, being a CrossFit Games athlete, like some of the hardest training that humans do, right? From a sports standpoint, you gotta like, if it's tough and I'm feeling sorry for myself, like I'll be like, well, damn, my wife just went through all this stuff.
Yeah.
Stop. And like, that's real. That might sound cliche to some people, but that's my experience. And that's helped drive me.
Yeah.
Get through hard training sessions, get through whatever it is that I'm doing. So I think even something just as simple as that, it's just like, it sounds simple in my head. Maybe that sounds crazy to other people, but it's driven me. I did the same thing with other life experiences, just through loss or whatever it is. So I just try to take it and change it into fuel, change it into something positive. And
yeah. Yeah. And that's the goal, man. Like, I think of all of this, cause I think there's two things that happen to people, right? When they're walking into a difficult season, maybe intentionally, or it was given, like it just happened to them. Like sometimes we choose that thing and sometimes it happens to us, but one, like it doesn't feel like it's going to end. And like, we need perspective from people who have been through stuff like that. Oh, it's a season. It may not feel like it. It may like, there may be no light at the end of the tunnel, but let me tell you, I've been there. It'll end. And it's as little as like, I'm a parent of young kids, and when are they ever going to stop not sleeping at night? It's like, it'll end, it's a season, but it's hard, like in the moment. And then I think the second thing is like, we need somebody to tell us, not only is it going to end, but there's going to be value that comes out of what you're enduring, right? Like this whole idea for us as a business of like, we want to equip and encourage people to do hard things so they grow stronger is, CrossFit exemplifies that really well as a sport, but it's like based out of a Bible verse in Romans. It's Romans 5 something. I really should know the reference, but I always forget it. But it's like through difficulty, through struggle, it leads to perseverance, and perseverance leads to character, and character leads to hope. And like, that's a really good thing. We all want some of that in our life. And, yeah. But it all starts with the difficulty, right? Like there's no conviction in comfort. Like you just don't have it, but you have it when you go through some challenges. And so I totally resonate with what you're saying. Like it has to have some purpose and value and meaning, and it should, but sometimes it's hard and we need people to remind us of those things. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Inherently life is just hard.
Yeah.
I think.
We all have the season at some point that comes to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've resonated so much with this idea. 'Cause it's like, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves in really comfortable places, but we probably shouldn't stay there. Like that's not a good, something is going to become even more difficult at some point if we live in a comfortable place. Like we should be pushing ourselves forward and pressing ourselves out of our comfort zones. And we need somebody to remind us sometimes, but
yeah.
All right, man, I got one more question for you.
Okay. Let's ride.
You kind of got into a little bit, but I just pointed question. What advice do you have for somebody in the middle of their hard thing right now?
Yeah, if you're going through something that's really challenging or really difficult, just, I don't think, like, don't let your initial emotions dictate how you handle it, right? Sit back, take a breath, make a game plan. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't need to listen to emotions because of those, that you should, but
they're there for a reason.
But I think just try to step away and like have a bird's eye view, which is hard to do. So maybe reach out to a friend that's you know, you trust their advice, or a family member, and then just start to work through it. That's probably it. I don't know that that's just a quick answer. I think it probably go back and listen to this. I'm sure I talked on it a little bit, but I just start rambling. But the, if you're going through a tough time, just, I don't know. Yeah. Just don't react quickly, unless you have to. Reach out to friends or family, and, you know, then you can really have a sound, a sound mind around whatever that difficulty is, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, don't do it alone, right?
Yeah.
Why? There's no need. Cool, man. Well, hey, you're an engaging guy, so it's fun. This was a good hour conversation, and thanks for being willing to hop on and share some stories and be a little bit vulnerable with what's been going on in your life or has been in the past and what's shaped you. I think my hope is that it's an encouragement for somebody who listens to it. So I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.